This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I'm feeling in a good mood. I'm feeling in a good mood here, guys. So I've got a little advice here for the New York Jets. Little advice. As we get ready for the combine, which is about to jump off in earnest today, you've heard obviously some things trickling in the last couple of days, and the advice is this: stop telling us you're gonna win now. Stop doing it. You know, for once, I would like to see the Jets take the side door in. And it's not boastful like Rex and, you know, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, we're gonna beat Belichick, we'll do this. And it's not like Aaron Glenn's doing that at all. It's quite the contrary. It's, you know, it's very measured. It's very direct. It's confident. It's matter of fact. It's not over the top. That's not the point. See, you can put it out there that. See, let me take a step back. If I was Aaron Glenn or even Muji, every time I'm in front of a microphone right now, I'm going to talk about how long it's been since. We've won here as a franchise. And because Aaron Glenn was a part of it, he can truly use the word we. Hey, you know, I was here in 95. I was here in 96. I saw the turnaround with Bill in 97. I was here at the turnaround in 98 when we were a step away from going to the Super Bowl. Guys, this isn't easy. And we're not going to make excuses. But, you know, to change an entire building's culture, blah, blah, blah. It's going to take a little time because what Aaron Glenn's doing, and it might not take time. That's the interesting thing. I've been on the record, you know, obviously settle the quarterback spot, make a good draft move or two, get a decent free agent or two. Jets are ready to be a wild card team. Who knows? You get a break, maybe a little bit more. But it's not doing them any favors by creating this win now urgency. I don't understand the need to do it. And I know that Aaron's a proud man, and I definitely respect that. I truly do. And more times than not, that would galvanize me. Like you, like when Steve Cohen bought the Mets, he gave you the 3 to 5 year window, right? And kind of adjusted it a little bit since, but that was something that Met fans needed to hear. Met fans were so beaten down with the previous ownership and their cheap ways that, you know, Steve comes rolling in with the checkbook and armed ready to do some business. Dropping that kind of mantra, I thought that was really good for the Met fan base. He invigorated the fan base at a time when they needed some oxygen and some life pumped into those lungs. Now, the Jets need, and the Jet fans need the oxygen as well, but it could be done differently. It could be done more, and again, it's not a humility thing. I think Aaron's going to be terrific. It's not that I'm turned off by the approach. I'm actually trying to protect him. I'm trying to look out for him. Because I want to play something. Again, not over the top. This was just a couple of days ago. Listen to this, and then I'm going to follow it up with something. Go ahead, Dolph.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the forward thinking of this group and what we're going to do as a team. So we're here to win now, and we're looking forward to it.
There you go. We're here to win now. We're looking forward to it. Okay. I like that you raised the bar. You try to elevate the ceiling here. But what happens if you don't win right away? You know, what happens if you know, the quarterback target that you have doesn't work out, and it's plan B or whatever it might be, or there's a rash of injuries in training camp, or guys just don't adjust right away to your new style, and there's still penalties. Like, that is a soundbite that is going to be regurgitated at some point. Not like throwing it in his face if the Jets are 1-2, but why even do it? Why even do it? I would not do that. I think it's a little different from the Giants' perspective. Not that they're necessarily doing this, but like if I'm Shane and Dable, I mean I'm just going to be as transparent as humanly possible. Hey, we got win. I mean, you know, you get hired to get fired in this league, and we just haven't pumped out enough wins. And you know, I know ownership is, you know, running out of patience, as are we. We got to put some wins on the board. We got to start stacking them, and if not, there's going to be major repercussions. That's what the Giants should be saying. Because that's honest and that's on the mark. I don't know if I like Aaron Glenn saying this. I don't. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan. And you're going to get a lot of this stuff, guys, because the combine, which is for the most part fairly useless, you know, I don't know the percentage, but I would think that a smallish percentage of actual draft decisions are made exclusively from the combine. I mean, you got the tape from the young men's games over the course of their college career. I think the pro days on their various campuses obviously matter. It's more intimate. Of course, you bring them into the building. You get a chance to check out the personality, you know, match up the IQ, throw them on the grease board if they're a quarterback, just talk some shop, talk philosophy, talk football. I think that's where those real decisions are made. So you're going to hear a lot of smoke screens and a lot of boring cliches about quick hips for safeties and corners and processing ability and all this nonsense that really doesn't mean a whole lot. What really means a lot for me at this point is messaging, because you haven't taken a meaningful snap yet. And I don't think that Aaron Glenn's doing himself a favor by continuously going to the "we're going to win now" boat. Now, Hoff, I got to ask your opinion on something here, buddy, because I think what I'm saying, but you're hearing it, I'm saying it, you're hearing it. I think what I'm saying largely runs counterintuitive to who I am. Like, I generally like this stuff. I generally, I support. And I appreciate when there's a projection of confidence and positivity and growth and expectation. But I feel in this situation, for the reasons that I laid out, I feel that it's a little unnecessary. I don't think Aaron Glenn needs to do this.
Well, it's also because the history of this team hasn't been fantastic either. So it's almost more like, don't talk it, just do it at this point in time, right? Like, you don't need to sit there and say, we have to win now, because, like you said, there's too much pressure. But it also goes back to Woody Johnson, too, saying that he's a winner. Everyone's talking about Glenn and he's a winner. Well, it's like, what's he supposed to say?
Well, he could just be fairly benign, and he could do what I said he should do before. I told you, well, my approach would be very simple, guys. Hey, Dolph, do me a favor. Dolph, I'm Aaron Glenn, okay? I'm probably asking the wrong person to do this, but play the game here, Dovey, since Hoff is screening the calls. I'm Glenn. You are Rich Cimini. Who's your favorite Jets reporter? Is it Rich Cimini?
We'll go Rich. Maybe Connor Hughes.
Well, we love Connor. I didn't know if you knew much about Connor. Okay, you are Connor or you are Rich. I am Aaron Glenn. You've got the first question. Go ahead. And about big picture stuff for the Jets. Please ask that. Yes, Rich, how are you? Connor, what's happening?
Hey, Coach, you told us you want to win now, but you had a Hall of Fame quarterback that you pushed aside. If you want to win now, why are you pushing Rodgers away?
Well, I would push back on the terminology, pushing Aaron Rodgers away. I appreciate the question, Rich. It's not a bad one. I'm not saying that it is, but... there's probably some more moves to come that might surprise some of you. That might seem counter to winning. But, guys, you have to understand, I'm walking into a situation, and we're walking in. We're here for a reason. And if things were going well before we arrived, guess what? We would have never arrived. They brought us here to change things. They brought us to change a culture. And the way you change a culture is sometimes you have to make very tough decisions with people that you respect and people that maybe you even still think could play football. But there's financial decisions. There's, you know, 2-3 year window decisions that all tie into this. And ultimately, for me to get up here as the first year head coach of the New York Jets and offer some bold proclamations about, you know, winning this and doing that, I'm about winning. Let me be very clear and very transparent about that. But I've also been in this game for a long time. As a player with the Jets, when we lost a lot early, and it was hard to get through that, I was with Detroit early, and it was hard to push through those tough, dark days for a franchise like this one that hadn't won in a while. It might take a little time, but when we get there, we will eventually get there in a big way. Joe, next. What do you have, Joe? That's how you do it. So you do it. Now, maybe that's a little wordy. Maybe Aaron is not going to be quite that verbose or lift up the curtain quite that much. That's what I would do. And it's not being afraid or reluctant to embrace expectations or, you know, set forth a compass of accomplishment. That's why I laid it out as we were just messing around with that mock exchange there about how, and again, now on me, I'm not Aaron, I'm saying that Aaron is inherently a winner, but he's also inherently somebody who's been around some very tough rebuilds. So I think that's the more prudent approach. I don't want to see this come back and blow up in his face. That's what I don't want to see. And I don't think the New York media is not going. First of all, I do think there's a bit of a misnomer. The New York media is, I don't think, I'm sure there's a few exceptions, but I really believe this. I don't think initially is the operative word, is initially out to get people. I think over time, I think depending upon maybe personality clashes, I do think that changes, and I think that line of objectivity certainly blurs into more subjectivity, which for journalists is pretty much not supposed to happen, but there's not many journalists anymore, as we know. So I really think that, and it's also not their job to try to lift them up. You know what I mean? You can write the favorable stories, and you can talk about the things that Aaron did when he was here, but they're not on the payroll to, they're not PR people for the Jets. So I do think that he'll be treated very fairly. But guys, it's been 14 years. As much as we'd like to think there's a magic wand and, you know, you start pulling rabbits out of hats, and maybe it is a one-year turnaround. Don't stack the deck even more than you need to. That's all I'm saying. Not go nuts about this. That's all I'm saying. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Sal is recovering, sucking down Surfsides, as he put out there that picture. And it was the other IHOP. Good to know they didn't do it twice. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Adam's down in South Jersey. Adam, what's happening, bud? How you doing today?
Oh, batting lead off now.
Nobody.
Adam from South Jersey. What's up, BT?
I'm good, man. How you doing? How you been?
I'm good, man. Listen, you know, this is interesting talk today, and whenever I call you about something about the Jets, you know, I always try to give you a coach's perspective, right?
Yep.
And I understand what he's doing here, and I don't blame him for doing it. So this team has a culture for a long time of BS and losing and making more mistakes and things and such. I'm sure he has been a film junkie on his new team.
Yep.
I'm sure he's looked at certain things. I'm sure right away as a confident coach, he says, I can fix this. I can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
I can fix that. And if we do this better, we're going to win this game instead of lose this game, et cetera, et cetera. He is setting the bar, BT, and he doesn't care whether the media knows or not. He wants the people in the building to know. I'm not coming here to take a year off. I'm not taking the quarterback change as an excuse. I'm not allowing any of this. You guys are going to come in, work hard, make fewer mistakes, turn the ball over less, fewer penalties, and we are going to win. We are coming in to win this year. He's not saying we're going to go win the Super Bowl, BT.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them, I'm changing your mindset. We are not going to do these things that cost us games anymore. We are going to win, and I like that he's doing it. I don't think that he should sit back and worry about what the media thinks that could blow up in his face.
Yeah.
If he don't believe in what he could do, BT, his players won't believe in what he can do.
Listen, I got to tell you, you're saying a lot of smart things here, Adam, and I think I fundamentally agree with basically everything that you said. The difference, though, is I think, as you just said, as you intimated, and I believe, I don't know that they're necessarily, they still have to make some tough decisions, necessarily ready to win. So, and maybe I'm being a little literal here, I just think you could project that accountability without being so bottom line. Hey, there's no shortcuts. Hey, this is not going to happen overnight. This is not a microwave situation. Illuminate how bad it's been, and then cross the bridge to what you think you're going to do. That's the prudent route. That's what I would do. But
you know, I can agree with that, but he's setting a bar, BT. He, no losing close games, guys. You know, this is basically what he's saying. We're here to win games. Yep. We're here to win.
All right.
And he's not letting it be taken for granted. And you're doing a great job. I hope Sal feels better, BT. And saw you on Facebook with the St. John's game. Beautiful family, bro. And go Patino. Best coach in the game, Patino.
I agree with that. He has been absolutely phenomenal. We'll get to the little Johnny stuff later. A little bit of a nail biter. Tough spot. You know, middle of the week, you know, against a team that's not very good. Tough venue. Johnny's were a little bit off defensively last night. They weren't very connected. Defensively, you know, a lot of guys getting to the rim on Butler before they tighten things up, but they won. They won the game, and obviously now you win on Saturday against Seton Hall, and Seton Hall is just really, they've got 7 wins on the year. St. John's will be sole, you know, they will win by themselves, no co-shares. They will be the Big East regular season champs. We'll do a little more hoops later. Knicks as well, though. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Yep, and Sal is on the mend, which is good. Eric is in Rivervale. Eric, what's cooking?
BT, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Happy to hear Sal's on the mend, and I'm sure he'll be back at it all better next week. Love the Jets conversation, man, and I agree with you, as I usually do, but in this particular case with the Jets, I really agree in that I have such hope for Aaron Glenn, and I do believe in him. I think he's going to be a great coach, but this is the kind of stuff he can't do. Because we as Jets fans, all we want is just be authentic, be himself. I don't want to hear platitudes. I don't want to hear the Rex Ryan type stuff that, yeah, we're ready to win now. Like, that's a joke. How do we know that? We don't even know who our quarterback
is. Hold on one
sec,
bud. Let me just jump in for one second, throw this at you. I do think he's being his authentic self. Now, you know, Rex in his bombastic, crazy delivery as well, give him props. He also was being true to who he is. I don't think that Aaron, my problem was Robert Sala. I never thought that Robert Sala was truly being who he is, or at least putting that out there for public consumption. I think that Aaron is. I just think it's a mistake to just, you know, circle the word win, and we're ready to win, and we're going to win. There's no need to do that now. You're not winning a snap tomorrow. I mean, just build it out there. Let the building understand that you're here to win by holding them accountable and blasting them. You know, lighten them up if they're not in a weight room, or if they're half-assed at their OTAs. That's how you set the standard, not by saying you're going to win.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almaced.com.
I completely agree with that. And I guess that's my point, is that authentic in the sense of who they are, right? As a team, as an organization. Like, we don't know that they are built right now to win because we don't know what their vision is for the team, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know who the quarterback is. Is it Tyrod Taylor? Are they going into the draft? I mean, we're hearing all sorts of rumors on the draft, as it always is. I have no idea if they're looking to move up or not. Maybe they are. But until we hear from Muji and collectively with Glenn what their vision is, yep. It's really hard to believe that this team is built in a way that they could win tomorrow. So, yeah, I feel like he sets himself up, you know, for failure in that sense. But, I do believe in Aaron Glenn. I think he is, you know, true to who he is and that he's going to be a hard ass. He's a disciple. And I love all of that. Yes. I just don't want the team to fail him and then he looks like a fool.
Well, that's my whole point. I'm trying to protect him because I do believe in him. I think the Jets made the right hire. You know that I wanted Vrabel one, but very early in the evaluation of who they might hire, even before Vrabel was hired, I never relegated Vrabel to anything other than my top choice. But Aaron Glenn went from like 3 or 4 to 2 quick. It's a matter of record. I was a big proponent of hiring Glenn before they did if they couldn't get Vrabel. Yeah, but again, we don't know who the quarterback is, and I don't think it's going to be Tyrod Taylor, but you never know. Are they going to extend Sauce? Are they going to trade Sauce? Are they going to extend Garrett Wilson? Are they going to trade Garrett Wilson? You know, is Jermaine Johnson's Achilles healthy to the point where he's got that snap and burst back off the edge? Don't know. You know, CJ Mosley, are they going to cut him for cap purposes? Don't know. Likely, but you don't know. Are they going to really tighten up that third level? Do the penalties get cut in half? Do they spruce up the old line a little bit? Do they find a tight end that could actually, you know, create some mismatches, make some plays? I mean, the Jets have a lot to do. A lot to do. So I just don't want a situation, because I know it. Hey, been around. I'm no dummy. I mean, maybe with certain things you might think I'm a dummy, but I know how the New York sports game works, both as a fan, because I still am one, both as a listener to WFAN, because I always was one, you know? Even before I got, long before I got here. I know if the Jets are 1-3 and they don't look sharp, I promise you, you're calling up me and Sal, you're calling up the afternoon show, you're calling up Boomer and Geo. I don't know. This guy was talking a big game, you know, back in February, back when he was hired. Look how sloppy they are. Still a lot of penalties. Not sure. Maybe they didn't get the right guy. So why even risk that? Don't even tell us you're going to win. Just go win. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Team Sal back on the Fan, 1027 on this Thursday. Get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019 is our number. I mean, Knicks, you can't blow out the Sixers. I know there was no Towns, but come on. Do a little Knicks later, a little Johnny's as well. And, you know, I'd say the Stafford stuff, unless it's a smokescreen, who knows. But now it looks as if, at least as of now, that the Giants, and I'm sure that they do, but the Giants better have a pretty firm plan B here, because if plan A was Stafford, and these rumblings that the Rams are now looking to extend them rather than move them are true, well, then the Giants got to figure out what's next. No, and it's not Aaron Rodgers. You know, I saw that being flow. Aaron Rodgers to the Giants. Would you stop? 888-808-1019. Right now we're talking Jets, and I love it. I love the confidence, and I know he believes it, and I know that he's going to be true to his character. And I think Aaron Glenn was a very good hire. That's why I'm looking out for Aaron Glenn. Stop telling us you're going to win and just be the coach and just, you know, kind of side door for a little bit until you get things moving here. Freddie's in Whitestone, BT and Sal. Freddie, what's happening?
Oh, BT, you know what? I so agree with you about Aaron Glenn. I loved him as a player, and I was praying he was going to be the coach when the rumblings of him coming out there. I love young coach. The thing, and I don't mind the Aaron Rodgers thing, because to be honest, I'm probably one in a few never wanted Aaron Rodgers here just because of his age. But when you're going to tell me, and I pray to God this isn't true, that Tyrod Taylor is going to start the season as the Jet quarterback, that is going to turn me and 3 million other Jet fans off tremendously. I'm hoping you know, or you've heard something, or who the quarterback may be. I don't even care if it's a draft pick. Uh-huh. I'd rather them draft the quarterback and go fresh with a new quarterback than Tyrod Taylor.
How about you meet me in the middle here? Because I think this is a pretty distinct possibility. I know it sounds very unappealing, but what if Tyrod Taylor starts and the Jets draft either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? Would you do that? And then eventually play Sanders or Ward if they do that?
I'll be honest, I really can't say anything about those two quarterbacks because I didn't see them enough.
Okay.
I never saw them enough.
Yeah.
God's honest truth. I would have no problem with that.
Okay.
As long as they have another quarterback in camp, that's the future. That's all I want. And I'm sure even you must feel that way, too, because you can't tell me that you're a Jet fan and you're okay with Tyrod Taylor being the quarterback.
No, there's no way Tyrod Taylor's going to be the guy. Thanks for the call there, Freddie. Like, you know, the guy, the unquestioned starter. You know, no battle in training camp. It's Tyrod's squad. It's Tyrod's team. And, you know, some fifth or sixth round middling pick behind him is the second quarterback on the roster. There's 0.0% chance that that's going to happen. You know, I don't know what the odds are that Tyrod starts and they move up for Cam Ward or they move up for Sanders. I like Ward a lot better. I mean, listen, the more this goes on, I feel like the Jets are seriously thinking about, you know, making a pretty sizable jump to, I don't know if it's quite Tennessee territory, but if they want Cam Ward, it's probably going to have to be Tennessee territory, or at the minimum, it would have to be Browns territory, because I think that Cam Ward's going in front of Sanders. I do. I think he should, and I think he will. 888-808-1019 is our number here on The Fan. Justin Wantage, New Jersey. What's up, Just?
Hey, morning, BT. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. How you doing today?
Hey, good. You know, I think the topic about Aaron Glenn is a great one and kind of how he's addressing everything. My concern is that he really has no choice at this point. I mean, the Jets are just a dumpster fire. You know, I love them to death. I've been rooting for him my whole life, but in all pro sports, they're probably the worst run team. And he really has no choice but to get out there and say they're going to be great, you know, win this year, because he has to change the culture, as a previous caller said.
Yeah, but you don't tell them. This is my entire point, and you're going the other way, which is fine, but you don't change the culture with words. You change the culture with hard work and accountability, which I know he's all about. That's what ultimately is going to have us, you know, a month in or 3 months or 2 years or 4 years saying, wow, the Jets knocked it out of the park with this Aaron Glenn hire. That's when we're going to realize.
Oh, yeah, agreed. You know, but the problem is, you know, the biggest problem in the room is Woody. Is he going to let these guys do their job? You know, we all felt great with Douglas and Saleh coming in and all the regimes before that. Is he actually going to let them do their job and do the hard work, keep their nose down, and hopefully, you know, make us a winner?
What do you
think? That's the biggest problem.
What do you think?
I'm hoping with all the hoopla and the players' ratings that just came out saying that the Jets were the worst organization, he's the worst owner, that he finally has to realize him trying to play owner or trying to play GM doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping he finally takes a step back.
Me too.
Ultimately, as great as we love Aaron Glenn and these guys, it's ultimately what Woody wants to do.
I agree. I think, oh, I hope, I think it's probably more hope than think. Because you don't know with Woody. But it's my hope and partly my belief that he has been so humbled because he has been so embarrassed that he's self-reflected and he's like, all right, I've tried everything and nothing's worked here. And now I'm going to do the opposite. and I'm going to let these guys do their job, and I'm staying out of the way. You know, what I don't understand, and I never really thought this about Woody, like, I thought for years Woody was, you know, up until the last couple of years, I'm like, man, he's just not good. Like, I never thought he was great, obviously. But I never thought he was, like, the problem that he's now perceived to be. I thought he was just fairly benign, like a guy who just didn't know football and didn't know who to hire. But I didn't think he was like a tyrant, like a behind-the-scenes meddler, if you will. And yesterday on the show, we talked about that NFLPA survey that comes out every year, and they rank like 7 or 8 levels of criteria. You know, the facilities, the strength coaches, blah, 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 whatever, all the different things. And the last one, of course, is ownership. And Woody got an F, the only owner to team, you know, team owner to get an F there. And the quote that you heard yesterday connected to that survey was, it's a culture of fear. And like, I never looked at like Woody, culture of fear. Like, he looks like a nerd. I mean, I don't mean that the way it sounds. Like George Steinbrenner, when George was on the warpath, that's a culture of fear. Maybe Jerry Jones getting older now, but maybe Jerry at his most combustible way, that's a culture of fear. James Dolan, you know, when things weren't cooking at the Garden for a long time, culture of fear. Woody? Just, yeah. But apparently, and listen, there's different levels of fear. There's that overt in-your-face fear, which I still don't think applies to Woody. And then there's the fear of, all right, I'm not going to give you a chance to do what I hired you to do because I don't like the way things are going, and I'm going to intervene, and I'm going to completely undo whatever you tried to do. I guess that's probably more it, but that was pretty interesting. AJ's in Lindcroft. AJ, what's up?
Hey, what's up, BT?
Hey.
I wanted to get your take on something, you know, specifically with the 2022 draft class.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't have to tell you who they are. So the guys we got in the first rounds, you know, we kind of have them under control until 2027. They're restricted free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a guy like Breece Hall. So, you know, I think they have to really identify if they want to keep these guys now and possibly try to trade them while they have value. Because, you know, another losing season, they're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. They might want out as it is now. So, you know, my opinion, especially a guy like Breece Hall, who's going to be a free agent after next year, they have to identify if they want to keep him. And if they don't want to keep him, trade him now. Get him while he's worth a little something. I guarantee your team needs him, wants him. Because then you're going to run into like a Saquon Barkley situation. I'm not saying he's Saquon. He's far from it.
Yeah.
But trade him. Trade him while you have value. And even a guy like Sauce Gardner, like if you don't think he's worth something, like trade him now because he's going to get offered a lot of money next year.
I know.
You know. So that's just my thing. They have to identify if they want to keep him. And then
that's what they're doing, AJ. I promise you, that's exactly what they're doing right now. That's one of the biggest things they're doing. That's why they're in the facility every day. You know, looking at every single snap from the season, not just this season either. Like for Sauce, I think Garrett's evaluation is a lot easier. They've just got to decide internally. It's easier. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier, I think, than Sauce. Like with Garrett, I know he wants, I think, $30 million a year. That was the report yesterday. Again, it sounds a lot. The salary cap's going up $20 million this year, probably more. No, definitely more next year. How much, I don't know. But the more that increases, the less emphasis I placed on the actual nut per year. But if it was 30, which is his ambition, that makes him a top 5 wide receiver in football. Is he a top 5 guy? I mean, you can make the case he could be. I would make the case right now he's not. Not far away from it. But his tape is just more consistent with Sauce's. Whereas Sauce, you're like, I mean, the first 2 years, like, this guy's a first ballot immediate Hall of Famer. Forget about the Pro Bowl. He's going right to the All-Pro list the first 2 years. And then last year, the missed tackles, and even the first 2 years, never making picks, but that's because they avoided him. I don't know. And that's, hey, nobody better equipped to make that decision than Aaron Glenn. Played the position. That's all you, AG. All you. I would be surprised if both men, young men, are extended with massive cut. I don't think that that's the sensible thing to do. And to the last caller's point, because, and it's not really on their shoulders, it's a team sport, more so than any other sport, but if you lost every year with them, I don't know. Maybe the other thought would be maybe you can mess around and mix it up and win without him. I don't know. The Breece stuff, rather than trade Breece now, and that's obviously lower in priority because of the position and the de-emphasis, though, you know, Saquon going bonkers maybe changes that a little bit. I would almost rather look to extend him now and maybe get him at 85 cents on the dollar than have him go bonkers next year and then try to sign him. And you got to look at it both ways. The Jets way, of course, but also if you're Breece Hall, like Breece ripped up his knee a couple years ago. Breece didn't get first-round money. So, like, if I'm Breece and if I'm Breece's camp and his family, his advisor, and his advisors, and the Jets come, I'm just throwing something out. I don't know. 3 years. Let's see. What was the Saquon tag? 13-1-ish? That's 39. Come with, like, 3 years. 27 with 22 guaranteed, something like that. Don't you think that he'd have to be very tempted to take it? And if he's the player that I think we still think he could be, well, then you get him on a deal. And that's part of being a good franchise. Don't react when somebody explodes. Anticipate, trust your instincts, be right, and then get him on a deal that's favorable for the team, not the other way around. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata. So, the roller coaster, Stafford going to the Giants. Maybe the Rams might retain him. Yeah. We're going in a lot of different directions with this Stafford stuff. Yesterday we talked about, and really me for about a month or so, I think the Giants should do it. I think they absolutely want to do it. I don't know now if the Rams will let them do that. But now let's freshen things up. We'll do this coming up next. If it's not Stafford, who? Who is it? What do the Giants do if Stafford wakes, we wake up tomorrow, Stafford, 3-year extension, $212 million, whatever the number is going to be. What do they do? I'll tell you coming up next. BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, 1046. Back here on the Fan, it's BT and Sal. Brandon's here to Sal, the Cotta Show. 888-808-1019 is our number. Do a little Knicks later, a little Johnny's as they, Lisa, and listen, they're going to beat Seton Hall over the weekend. They will get the regular season title all by themselves for the first time since 91-92. And next couple of weeks going to be absolutely on fire with St. John's. We'll do some of that as well. I came across this list, the top 10 New York athletes. You would imagine that we can pick this list apart, and we will do that a little later as well. So we've got some Jet stuff up there, and we'll get back to the Jet calls. Now, at least, let's incorporate a little bit of a different spin with the G-Men, who, as you know, if you listen to the show, follow social media, I've been saying Stafford for a while. Like, I just think it makes sense. Since the Rams won once, they can justify, all right, we're going to kind of reset, recalibrate, rather than giving him the $50 million a year that he wants. Now, maybe they'll do it, and the reports are now seemingly that they're more open to it than they were. All right, just for a moment, without trying to poke holes in that viability, the story's viability, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to take it, you know, face value. And for now, I'm going to say Stafford's back with the Rams. And let's push this thing forward with the Giants. Although I don't fully believe it because I know the Giants want him. I think the Raiders will want him. I think the Colts might want him. I think Miami could mess around and want him. I wouldn't use the Jets. I don't think the Jets will want him. But the Steelers, I think there's a lot of teams out there that are going to make a real play for Stafford that's going to entice the Rams to eventually make a trade. But let's pretend they don't bite and he's back with the Rams. What are the Giants doing? I mean, if there is no way, let me just roll through a few things that simply cannot happen. Aaron Rodgers with the Giants cannot happen. I'm not even wasting time on that. No. Sam Darnold, I don't think it will happen. I don't love it. I think you're overpaying. I really do. But, 10, 15, 20% possibly? I almost think of, if we're talking former Jet quarterbacks, I almost think it's the better route would be to take a flyer on Zach and just not as the starter maybe, but, you know, if you're going to have him battle somebody, whatever, you know, come in, he's 25, he spent the year with Peyton in the building. I don't know, see if he learned anything. He's going to be cheap, pennies on the dollar, right? Speaking of pennies on the dollar, like, this would drive me nuts if Kirk Cousins was the quarterback of the Jets, and I've got to maintain that same energy for the Giants because I just don't want to see him play football. And Kirk Cousins, the only thing that changes this a little bit is that he's very cheap based on, you know, the if there is some sort of a trade or a buyout, you're getting him. I mean, he's still serviceable. He's not a scrub. He's got no mobility, and the Jets went through that with Aaron Rodgers. Jones obviously can move, but, you know, once he was down, why are we going backwards here? You're trying to save jobs. You're trying to score points. Kirk Cousins, who's very limited athletically, he's pretty much been a dome quarterback for a long time. I don't love that. I would not do that. Even though it was going to be cheap, that gives me pause, but I still wouldn't do it at the end of the day. Now, I mean, the draft stuff is too easy. For me, and we've said this a million times, I think Shedeur Sanders is obviously, well, unless it's a smokescreen, maybe I shouldn't say obviously, but has been more connected to the Giants. That's not what I would do. I would, if I want to draft a kid, I mean, they have to like him, clearly. I think Cam Ward's better. You know that by now. So I would take Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders. I'll tell you what. Really, when you factor in money and upside and style and even excitement, which you can't really factor that in too much because you got to win. And season tickets are sold anyway. It's not like you're trying to entice fans. Oh, wow, you know, there's 37,000 empty seats at MetLife. Maybe I'll buy a Giants ticket because they get this player I'm about to mention, and maybe he's going to be electric. Every ticket sold. You get them on the secondary market for $9 when these teams stink, but they're all sold. So what would I do if I'm the Giants? I would do the same thing that I've been preaching the Jets to do, Justin Fields. That's what I would do. Now, the reason why I would love him for the Giants, since this is a Giants conversation, I've referenced the Jets, but this is a Giants conversation. What's the biggest knock on Justin Fields, Hoff? What's the biggest knock so far on Justin in his career? Look at Justin Fields. Why hasn't he been better than as advertised, or why has he not been quite as good as he? Why not? What's the reason?
Well, I think it's because of the talent around him, personally speaking.
All right, that's not the answer that I would use. And I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think more directly, turnovers. And if there's one thing that we saw Dable coach out of Daniel Jones immediately in year one back in 2022 was hold on to the freaking ball. Yeah, so I factor this in. You know, that's been a skill set that Dable has shown. You know, even, and I know that DeVito didn't look the same this year. He got banged up as well. But even when DeVito came in, you know, last year, you know, he protected the ball enough where I think it's transferable. I think that's just something Dable's good at. And like Daniel Jones, you would be able to unleash him running the football. What did Jones have? 750 yards rushing? 8 rushing touchdowns back in 22, something like that. He only threw 15 touchdowns, and I'm pretty sure he had 8 on the ground. I don't know, Hoff, if you want to double-check that, if not, whatever. Justin Fields, to me, the price tag would match. The upside's tantalizing. I think the style fits the Giants. Steal a couple of wins here. You know, you have him out there with Malik Nabers and Robinson and Theo Johnson. Maybe you draft one more weapon there. To me, it's Fields. You know, I don't know that that's what they're going to do. But again, this is all under the premise, say, of the Rams deciding last second, which it seems they might. You know what? We're not going to trade Stafford. We're going to retain him. You know, here's a couple of $100 million to come back to L.A. What do the Giants do? That's what I think they should do. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. Obviously, also talking Jets, of course. Dr. Bob is in Roslyn. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, what's up, BT? How are you enjoying your vacation this week?
No, vacation. He's on vacation. I'm working.
Yeah, but you don't got to know how loud he is.
Nah, dude. Come on. He's my partner, man.
We love Sal. Let me ask you a question. I know that, obviously, with the Jets and the big dead cap hit because of Rodgers, but why does nobody talk about Stafford going to the Jets, since they always seem to think they're in a win-now mode? They got a lot of good weapons on offense.
Yeah.
They could use that 7th pick for maybe a good offensive lineman or another weapon, and now you got Stafford coming in for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good defense, and maybe you got a shot of winning. I mean,
well, hold on. Bobby, they have a good defense? Defense was awful. Good defense.
I think it was coached poorly.
It was horrendous.
It was a lot better when Sal had them for a year.
True. And I know that they already, like, you don't even have to put the tape on to know that the Jets have to get somebody to stop the run, which is part of the reason why defensively they were very vulnerable a year ago, not to mention all the stupid penalties. So, the defense will be better, but I wouldn't say that it's good. I need to see what they do before I say that they're good. But I do get your point, Lucy. I understand what you're saying.
Is the only reason why no one's talking about Stafford to the Jets just because the cap hit is so bad with Rodgers right now?
I don't know. I think it's partly monetarily based, and thanks for the call there, Bob. I also think, at least from my perspective, and maybe this is foolish on my part, because I don't think it was all Aaron Rodgers' fault, and I still think Matthew Stafford could play. Let's get a different script from Hollywood, huh? Didn't we just see this movie? You know, that doesn't mean that Stafford's going to rip his Achilles day one. But, nah, you got to find the quarterback for the big picture, don't you? And, you know, if last year, say if Zach was still here, and it was Zach's show, and they never messed around with Rodgers, you know what? I probably would be saying go out there and get Stafford with the energy that I'm saying it for the Giants. I'm sure that I would. Been burned. And again, not all Rodgers' fault. They just need to find a quarterback for more than a year or two. Come on. Yeah, you got to do it before we all drop dead. 888-808-1019 is the number. BT and Sal right here on The Fan.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.